You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We had a fun sports weekend with the NBA All-Star events and week two of the XFL. So we're going to find a way to apply both of those to the NFL and the Chicago Bears. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're looking at a couple of standout quarterbacks from the XFL that the Chicago Bears and the rest of the NFL should be taking a look at as far as potential sleeper value options to add, bring in, and continue to develop beyond what we're seeing this spring. We'll continue our weekly mock draft Monday with a look at a couple of Bears second round picks from our friends at the Draft Network. And we'll wrap up with a look at trying to fix the NFL Pro Bowl. Given how fun the NBA All-Star Game was, there's got to be a way to make the NFL's All-Star Game have a little bit more excitement to it, the way basketball seemed to figure out this weekend. The new XFL still has its doubters, but after two weekends of fun football, it's not NFL-quality football, but fun football nonetheless, I think the XFL is going to have some real staying power, and I think a big reason behind it is the quarterbacks, particularly the ones at the top that I think right now NFL teams are getting excited about, especially what we've seen from Cardale Jones of the DC Defenders and PJ Walker of the Houston Roughnecks. You may remember Cardale Jones from Ohio State, where he came in for the injured JT Barrett and ended up winning a national championship and a Big Ten championship and really playing well in some limited opportunities in college, entered the draft, was a fourth-round pick by the Buffalo Bills, ended up with the Los Angeles Chargers and briefly with the Seahawks, but hasn't really had a chance to stick around for very long and get many opportunities with an NFL team. And I think for my money right now, he's playing like the best quarterback in the XFL and the front runner for MVP. And there's really, I think, some elements of Cam Newton to his game just because of how he's built. There aren't a lot of guys with that type of body at the quarterback position. I mean, 6'5", 240 pounds, really able to be mobile, but also big and strong in the pocket. Hard to bring down, but can also throw it deep. And we've seen him just make some spectacular plays in terms of, there was one last week where Cardale Jones just fumbled the ball in the pocket, at, you know, when somebody came up behind him to try and sack him, he picks it up, turns, rolls left, and throws it for a 20-yard first down. I mean, just being able to extend plays with his legs, but not always immediately go toward scrambling past the line of scrimmage and still keeping an eye downfield and being on the same page as his receivers. But he's also hitting guys on anticipation throws, throwing them open deep downfield. There was a deep corner route in week one that was just absolutely beautiful. He can hit the opposite hash throw. He, of course, can run the read option, and he's just doing everything you want from your XFL quarterback. Of course, level of competition is what it is, but I think Cardale Jones is earning a big opportunity in the NFL. And PJ Walker has been right there in that conversation with the Houston Roughnecks. Now 2 weeks in a row, he's got, I think, 7 touchdowns over the first two games and not an interception to go with it. His yards were a little bit lower this week against the Battlehawks because his defense forced a couple of big interceptions that had them start drives in the red zone, but he can make some plays with his legs. He's more shifty than Cardale Jones, but similar mobility, not nearly as much size, but some precision passing downfield, much like Cardale in that way, and just being smart about knowing how to attack defenses and throw receivers open, even in a little bit different ways, but just put it in a spot and make sure your guy can go get it. It's been really impressive to see both of those guys. And if I'm a team like the Chicago Bears, looking for competition at quarterback, and maybe competition that's not going to cost me top dollar the way some of these current NFL free agent quarterbacks might, you could bring in a guy like Cardale Jones and, you know, you don't have to necessarily deem it an open competition, but I have a lot more confidence, or there's a lot more untapped potential, or just something there that's intriguing about a Cardale Jones, who's still 27, or a PJ Walker, who I think is like 22, 23, or 24, still young, developing quarterbacks. It's sort of like being able to draft one with a lot of potential, like an early type quarterback, given what we're seeing. but not have to use a draft pick because the Bears are short on draft picks and they're short on salary cap space. So Jones is a guy I would much prefer as a backup quarterback compared to another Chase Daniel type. You know, if you feel like getting Andy Dalton is too expensive, or Derek Carr is too expensive, or Alex Smith is too expensive, or a lot of these quarterbacks, Nick Foles, that if their contracts are just more than you want to pay right now for the Bears to have some more quarterback competition in there, I think watching how these two XFL quarterbacks in particular, there's a couple others that have been playing well as well, but it's really Walker and Jones that are leading the pack right now. And I think that's part of why the XFL has been able to have the success it is. And I think NFL teams are really going to start seeing the value of that and getting to see these quarterbacks have some live snaps, guys that maybe you haven't seen in 3 or 4 years since they were in college. And here's your evidence that they can do some potentially special things and at least give you more to work with than some of the other quarterbacks that we keep seeing cycled through as backups in the NFL. Of course, even with any of these quarterbacks brought in on the Bears depth chart, that still wouldn't keep me from drafting a quarterback this year if there's one on the board when the Bears pick that would be fitting the bill as just never too many quarterbacks in the room. We'll look at a mock draft situation from our friends at the Draft Network next on Locked On Bears. A new quarterback in Chicago could improve the offensive performance just enough to put this team over the top. And if you're looking for some sort of boost to your performance when it matters the most, then you need to check out our friends at BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And because they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for Locked On Bears listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code, LOCKEDON. You just pay for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. If you're getting tired of this Chicago winter like me, then I highly recommend this spring you follow your favorite baseball teams down to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Of course, Arizona has amazing weather and landscapes with exciting outdoor adventure and incredible food, really making it the perfect home base for baseball fans. Both Chicago teams join 13 other MLB clubs down in the greater Phoenix area, and they play at 10 stadiums all within about 50 miles of each other. So it's really an enclosed baseball environment. It's relaxed. You can go to games early and meet players and get autographs and really just take in the whole experience. But then when you're not at the ballpark, you can bring the wife and kids along, stay at a family-friendly resort, go out and see water parks, horseback rides, science museums, aquariums, dude ranches, so much to do and see, and it's all in those beautiful 75-degree temperatures in Arizona. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. So as we build up to the NFL draft, and really first the NFL scouting combine coming up here later this month, every Monday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we're going to take advantage of our friends at the Draft Network and do a little bit of a mock draft Monday, looking at the latest mock drafts coming out of the Draft Network and seeing how the Bears' picks stack up as the draft season goes on. We'll sort of notice some players move up and down the boards and get a sense of what potential needs the Bears might be able to fill, or just what best players will be available when the Bears pick at 43 and 50. So today we're going to look at one this weekend, an interesting one from Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network. You've heard him on this podcast before, and also on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. And this one he's calling Rage Against the Machine, Episode 1, Rage Against the Mock Draft Machine. The Draft Network has a mock draft machine where they'll simulate mock drafts and you can pick which teams you want to play as. And if you're a TDN Premium member, you can actually do trades and move up and down the draft as you would like as other teams make their picks. And I was playing around with the trading mechanism this weekend, and I found that if you took all of the Chicago Bears picks and tried to trade them away to one team to move up as high as possible in the draft, I think the highest I could get was number 9 to the Carolina Panthers or number 10 to the Cleveland Browns, kind of right in that range. And once you're there, of course, some of the top quarterbacks are pretty well off the board, but I was able to still snag Justin Herbert at either one of those spots, the Oregon quarterback, but you're not getting much higher than that with every single one of the Chicago Bears draft picks. I don't think any team in real life would trade that far down just for all the picks that the Bears have in this draft. But regardless, that is not part of Trevor Sikkema's mock draft. In this one, he lets the simulator simulate, and he kind of gives his analysis of the picks. And we're going to sort of do the same thing, looking specifically at the two Bears selections. Of course, you can kind of skip through most of the whole first round. You see four quarterbacks come off the board and et cetera, et cetera. But as we get into this second round, it's interesting that at 34 to the Colts, Washington quarterback Jacob Eason comes off the board, and then you get a run of offensive tackles and really offensive linemen at the top of that first round, and I think the Bears are going to be in a tough spot there if they're looking to bolster the offensive line, because that tends to be a trend each year where teams kind of wait until that early second round to start taking those interior offensive linemen or sort of the second level of offensive tackles. And here with the Chargers at 37, you have Austin Jackson, the tackle from USC. Then 38 with the Panthers, Cesar Ruiz, the interior offensive lineman from Michigan. The very next pick, Lucas Niang, the offensive tackle from TCU to the Dolphins. And then the four picks in a row, offensive linemen, the Cardinals take Prince Tega Wanugo from the offensive tackle from Auburn. And just like that, there goes a lot of the depth at that position in this mock draft when the Bears pick at 43. So this simulation actually had the Bears taking Wisconsin outside linebacker Zach Bond, who we've talked about on this podcast from our time down at the Senior Bowl. He's a guy who's a versatile edge rusher, someone who Wisconsin would use to drop back in coverage quite a bit, but was still able to rush the passer, get after the quarterback, get quite a few sacks last season, and also play pretty well against the run, and just be that really well-rounded edge piece. And some teams are looking at him as an off-ball linebacker, like in a 4-3 defense, play linebacker there rather than trying to bulk up to defensive end. And that's sort of where he is as a prospect right now, is like, I don't see him as an edge rusher who can be a 10-sack guy every year necessarily, but he's got a lot of value in coverage and in run defense, and maybe he can get you your 5 to 8 sacks a year. And to me, that's not a prospect I would take in the first round. Is that a prospect I would take at 43? I don't know. I think it's an interesting fit with the Bears because he could allow Chuck Pagano to get creative. Like we saw last year, they would put Mack and Floyd and Lynch on the field at the same time. And, you know, Bond is a guy that you could put out there and blitz Roquan Smith and Nick Kwiatkowski and then drop Bond into coverage and maybe just bring the pressures from different places and really be able to trust Bond in coverage more than you could for Khalil Mack or some of the other pass rushers. So I would see the fit in Chicago. I'm just not necessarily sure if I'm totally sold on the 43 overall pick being the value there for him. And as we look ahead at the 50th overall pick, we actually have the first tight end coming off of the draft board in this mock draft. It's Purdue tight end Bryson Hopkins, a name that's becoming more and more familiar for a lot of Chicago Bears fans. A great receiver at the position, can almost play like a wide receiver type role, but really hasn't shown a lot to write home about as a blocker. And when you're sort of taking a tight end in the modern NFL like this, I think you can sort of live with that if he can be a pretty effective receiver. To be honest, I need to do a little bit more film work on Bryson. I saw him do some stuff down at the Senior Bowl. I talked to him down at the Senior Bowl, a great kid, but I haven't had a chance to really go through a lot of his All-22 at Purdue. I know he's a good receiver. I want to see just how well he can separate and really create yards after the catch, but I think he was able to do it pretty effectively at Purdue, and it's a question of how well that'll translate to the next level. And I think Bryson Hopkins is a guy that would be a welcomed addition to a Bears tight end group that just has not been able to produce anywhere near to the level it's supposed to over the last few years. Honestly, I think you can describe the NFL Pro Bowl the same way in terms of not producing up to the level that it's supposed to. And it's really been a disappointment of an All-Star game. And the NBA All-Star weekend, including the dunk contest, three-point contest, and the big game Sunday night this weekend, was really a testament to how things can go well and really capture attention with an All-Star game. So still to come on the podcast, we're going to look at potential ways to fix the NFL Pro Bowl to make it a little bit more exciting. And we'll look at some of the challenges and the dynamics that go into that and why it's hard to make a Pro Bowl for this sport in this league really be as exciting as it is for the NBA and what they figured out this weekend. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. For a long time, the NBA's All-Star game has had a similar problem to the Pro Bowl in the sense that, yes, they still get all of their top players and stars to come to the game, but it's not really the same as an NBA game. It's not the same intensity. It's not the same, and I mean, it's the same rules for the most part, but it's just not quite, doesn't have the same feeling to it. And it's not nearly as entertaining to watch for a lot of those reasons. In the NBA All-Star game, there was no defense for years and years and years. You know, players would jack up threes and hit alley-oops and dunks, and those are cool for a couple minutes, and then you're kind of bored with the game because it's just a bunch of guys dinking around. And I think to some extent the Pro Bowl has had a similar issue where, you know, you don't really have guys pass rushing and blocking at their full effort hustle every time. Occasionally you'll see a guy kind of sprint, but it's not really physical, and you'll kind of have quarterbacks chucking some stuff downfield and just trying to get some big plays going, and, you know, it's some, otherwise there's some checkdowns, and it's just, I don't know, it's not really what you're looking for, right? It's not all the best players in the NFL teaming up to play the best game against the best players, and there's no scrubs. You know, I mean, it is all guys who are elite at their positions. You don't get to see them all play elite at their positions. And this weekend, the NBA's All-Star game found some ways to get their guys to play hard, particularly in the fourth quarter when it was most intense and really mattered. Like the first quarter, there was, and even the first two quarters, some of the same lack of defense, and it was still some fun moments to watch, but same kind of problem. Third quarter was a little bit tighter just because the two teams ended up being closer for whatever reason, and they actually tied in the third quarter, and that was a little bit better. But then in the fourth quarter, the NBA took away the clock and just said, first team to reach 157 total points in the game wins, and all the money for winning would go to charity, so there were some stakes involved with it. And you got 10 of the best NBA players in the world all playing really hard to the end, and it was exciting, it was fun, and it was an all-star experience that we haven't really seen out of the NBA All-Star game in a long time, and that we don't see out of the Pro Bowl. So looking at what the NFL can do, I think what makes it hard is that in the NBA, there's 82 games in a season, and guys have some more longevity, and they can, there's a little bit more room for them, I think, to go hard in the fourth quarter of one of these games. That the games matter a little bit less individually, so they can make the effort when they want to for something like this and not feel like it's going to affect anything else about their season. Whereas in the NFL, you play 16 games, and yes, a lot of guys in the Pro Bowl will have the playoffs off, or at least a few weeks off leading up to the Pro Bowl, so they'll have some rest and relaxation. But playing in an NFL game is very, very difficult on their bodies. And not that it's not difficult for NBA players, but they have a lot more games under their belt when it's all said and done. They have more durability, more longevity in that regard, whereas the NFL really beats people up, chews you up and spits you out in a way that's hard to get players motivated to try that hard for the Pro Bowl when it doesn't really matter for anything. So you do have to make it matter for something. And maybe that's not necessarily the winning team of the game gets X, you know, whether it's the opening kicker, they win the toss of the Super Bowl or whatever, they get home field advantage for something. I mean, however you want to try and connect it to something with some stakes, there's, because at the end of the season like that, there's not really a lot of opportunities to make the game outcome matter. But I think what was helpful for the NBA was putting some incentives in game, and to some extent, with the NBA, each quarter was its own separate score, and the winner of each quarter won money for their charity. And I think that's sort of something similar you could look at for the Pro Bowl, but maybe even break it down a little bit more specifically and either have them be incentives for players or for those players' charities. But, you know, give some in-game incentives, maybe statistically, where first player that scores the touchdown gets $50,000 to their charity. Maybe it's to them too. I mean, they do all make money for playing in the Pro Bowl, but you know, or the first quarterback to throw 3 touchdowns, or the first pass rusher to get a sack, or each offensive lineman, you know, the offensive lineman who doesn't allow a sack, or the fewest pressures, or the wide receiver that leads with catches or yards or touchdowns. You know, you could say whichever running back runs for the most yards in the first quarter, his charity gets $50,000. And then, you know, just put in different incentives like that, or the linebacker with the most tackles, or the defensive back, each interception is worth X amount of dollars for your charity or for you as a player, however you want to work it out. But give players some reason to compete. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to totally fix it and make it a 4-quarter intent football game. But I think you can do some things like that to add some stakes without necessarily totally changing the game, right? I mean, some people have suggested you make it like a 7-on-7 or even like a flag football thing. And I could see that working to some extent, but it wouldn't quite be the same. You might get players to play hard in 7-on-7, but you're not getting the full physical football game, right? And to some extent, you're never going to convince some players, even for a decent amount of change, to really play hard and put their bodies on the line in a way that they could risk injury. And I don't know necessarily how to solve that for the trench players in particular that really get physical. Because I think you can get wide receivers and cornerbacks to really go hard at each other, especially if interceptions or pass breakups are worth an amount of money and catches and yards and touchdowns are worth an amount of money. You know, I think that's something that you could see some intensity. But trying to convince, I mean, I don't know how you incentivize offensive linemen all that well. And maybe if the whole offensive line doesn't allow a sack in the game, they get something. I don't know. It's hard to really correlate that with a stat that everyone accepts. But things like that, to make players have a reason to try hard other than just being there to have fun. Because you do want them to have fun. That's an important part of it. But also to bring out some of that competition and to really see the best players in the world playing at their best against all the other best players in the world. That's what makes the whole idea of an all-star game really fun to watch. And I think those kind of stakes with some sort of financial backing to it or some other incentive to help that player or their team or their charity, I think that's sort of the way. You can't completely fix the Pro Bowl, but I think you can make the Pro Bowl a heck of a lot better and learn some lessons from what we saw from the NBA this weekend. I know we'll have plenty more lessons to learn all offseason long through free agency and the NFL draft, so I hope you subscribe to Locked On Bears to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Unless we get some sort of breaking news that'll usurp it, we're going to be back tomorrow with Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints, and he's going to take us through what's going on with Drew Brees, if there's any chance he might leave New Orleans, if Teddy Bridgewater is a franchise quarterback, or maybe there's a little bit of buyer beware there, and if Taysom Hill and all this hype going on with him, if there's anything there that the Bears should really take a long look at, or if Taysom Hill is belonging as a backup quarterback and utility option at best. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll learn a lot about another potential quarterback option and really options for the Chicago Bears, and we'll kind of keep some of those up as we approach free agency. Still want to get into Alex Smith and that possibility a little bit more, and Derek Carr as well. I think those are the two big fish that we haven't quite gotten to yet, but we've still got some time before free agency. We still got plenty of Bears talk coming your way and plenty more opportunities to bear down.